Bless, O Lord, the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts. They might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Long before there were such a thing as followers on Facebook, companies would oftentimes market themselves in competition with each other on television rather than just vague references. One of the biggest ones I remember were the Cola Wars. Do you remember the Cola Wars between Coca-Cola and Pepsi? In those commercials, some brilliant marketing team had the idea, and I think it was the Coca-Cola team, to have commercials depicting two truck drivers. One was a Coca-Cola truck driver and the other was a Pepsi truck driver, and they would show the Pepsi truck driver drinking a Coke. Do you remember this? It was brilliant. And the other guy, the truck driver, the Coke would catch him drinking it in his truck or drinking it somewhere else, and there was this laugh that even the person who carries the product prefers the other one. My friends and I in high school would love to go back and forth about this. We were Coke aficionados. We would disparage anyone who drank Pepsi. I'm not there anymore, so no worries if you're a Pepsi drinker. Consumer companies fuel this mindset even today. Apple, Mac versus PC, Ford versus Chevy, Verizon versus T-Mobile. It goes on. Getting your followers on Facebook, if you're a company, is a big deal. The more you have, the better you are than your competition. It's an amusing thing to see if you can outdo the other. It's an amusing thing to be a follower of somebody on Facebook or prefer one soda over another. And yet, in some ways, it points to a deeper reality and perhaps something that's a little more troubling. You see, our world operates very much in an either-or, right or wrong, better and deficient mindset. We've seen it, haven't we? People setting themselves against others, saying, I follow this one, I follow that one, this one's better than that one. I wonder if some of the dynamic was going on in that church in Corinth. I think it probably was. You heard it said. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas. They weren't saying that just because they were maybe they liked their style of teaching. I think there was competition in that church, because Paul otherwise wouldn't talk about divisions. The Apollos followers no doubt appreciated maybe his emphasis on wisdom. Maybe Cephas's or Peter's followers believed adhering to Jewish traditions was essential in living out the new faith, and those who didn't were deficient in somehow. Others, saying they belonged to Paul, may have did what Paul did and said, the law is not what's important, and those who stick to Jewish law and custom, well, they're just, you know, one brick short of a full load. Others maybe thought, wow, well, we say we belong to Christ. And yet, in the spirit of competition, maybe they were saying that they were better than everyone else. 2 millennia later, we still have a tendency to do this. I belong to the Presbyterian Church. I belong to the Baptist Church. I belong to the Methodist Church. Sometimes said in pride. Or I belong to a particular brand of Presbyterian Church that doesn't believe in that. We are the right church. They are not. The Methodist Church is going through its own travails, as you all know from the news. They are trying hard to sustain a sense that all are part of the body of Christ, even where there is disagreement, to the point where they cannot sustain fellowship together. You know, there was a game I played when I was young, and maybe you did too, Follow the Leader. The game was fun because you never knew whoever the appointed leader was. You never knew where that leader was going to take you. We do that in our faith, too. As we divide ourselves off, we often will look for the person we think will lead us the right way. Someone who's intelligent, whose worldview seems to make sense to us, who appears to be further down the road of faith. After all, we do in other spheres of life, careers, athletics, academics, why not also in the church? Even Paul at other times encourages his listeners to do what he did to a certain extent, to imitate him. And yet he never, ever, ever condoned division. The word that is used for division here is not a clean break. It's not an easy partitioning off and setting. No, this is actually a sense of being torn apart, ripped asunder. It is violent. It is not amicable separation. It is disruptive. And it breaks apart the fellowship that God intends for us. We must be careful when we seek identity to follow anyone else, that when we don't follow Christ first, that we will be led into a dead end. When we appeal to those in the culture who we believe have the right answers and yet set aside our first devotion to Christ and the common calling Christ gives each of us, we will be led astray. Even the people or organizations that seem to have the most righteous goals and missions, when they are not founded in the unity we have in Christ, they are destined to fail us. Paul points out that if the Corinthians think they belong to anyone but Christ, and not the Christ of their own making who divides other people off and says, you don't belong, you don't belong, you don't belong. No, the Christ who unites all people through the foolishness of the cross, through an object that people cannot understand in the world, the cross that holds in tension north and south, east and west, people of varying, different, and competing worldviews, this cross, the foolishness to the world, is the power of God by which we are saved. If anyone believes that dividing off is the way we become the one true church, then deception.